Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast, snap reactions, quarterback position, post week 10. And we are going to discuss primarily, I want to look at bigger picture on some of the quarterback stuff for the young guys. And primarily, I think it's important to sort of get an idea of track we're on and do it now. Primarily because I want to see if there is buying opportunities or if there's selling opportunities before the market resets. I think this is a good time to sort of do that. The market will reset in the off season to some degree, and you're going to get a change or a variety in opinions. You'll get it somewhere deeper depth. The market will sort of harden a little bit, and then all of a sudden, like, it'll be kind of settled. You'll get the talking points. You'll get all the regurgitation of the market stuff that'll just propel itself, and all of a sudden you'll sort of get hardened here. So now's a good time to sort of look at where we might be going, get some impressions on some players, and see where we're at. All right, so Justin Herbert. So I think I'm really interested about Herbert because, we're gonna look at eight guys from the basically this class and last class, and it's guys that have at least 80 dropbacks. So Trey Lance doesn't actually qualify yet. So that's too small to really draw a sample size from him. I'm just sort of treating him at his base rate right now. Herbert. So again, Herbert hit last year. So I think another hit puts him in a different tier. My question then becomes is, like, where does he fit in terms of eliteness? You're going to have 2 years of the rest of his rookie deal. His deal will get picked up. You know, his fifth-year option is going to get picked up, most assuredly. And he's sort of on the track of being a supermax-type guy. That's kind of where he's at. I wonder a little bit, though, if we're sort of what type of quarterback are we more dealing with, like a lower end quarterback one? Are we dealing with a higher end quarterback one? Like, what's the kind of bet that we're making with Herbert? And he's quarterback 7 at present. He's quarterback 8 in points per game at 23.8. And that's safe leagues points. His PFF grade's 83.9. So again, that's up there, top 10 or so of the position. Yards per attempt is actually down from last year, so 7.2 this year. He was at 7.3 last year. His big-time throw rate is down, 3.4 from 4.9 last year. His turnover-worthy play is also down to 1.7. That was at 2.3 last year. So he's got 2-to-1 big-time throw to turnover-worthy play rate. That was a little bit better last year. The ADOT's come down 0.3 of a point. So where do those stats break down? Well, 89.1 PFF grade from a clean pocket, that's 10th. Again, really good. That's up from last year being a 75.9 PFF grade from a clean pocket. Last year, he was 7.1 yards per attempt. He's up to 7.8 yards per attempt. Again, though, 17th out of 37 qualifiers. So good, above median. Is that elite? 7.2 ADOT, that's 25th out of 37. He's a really good deep ball thrower. They just haven't unlocked him there, which is really interesting. 6.5 ADOT from a clean pocket this year, and last year, it's up to 7.2 this year. So there is, and that's the ADOT that I referenced there, is from a clean pocket. So just not doing a ton down the field with his ADOT, which is interesting. Same 5.3 to 5.2 touchdown rate. Again, perfectly in line with normal. Under pressure, a lot less this year. So he was 36.6 last year. He's at 26.9 this year. Here's the big drop. It's 7.6 yards per attempt last year under pressure. It's down to 5.0 this year. Again, so if you balance that in between, if it gets in the middle, that actually adjusts out to about 7.4. Yeah, so if you basically regresses to his median range or so. It's on the under pressure stuff, and then combine that with the new clean score, so it goes up a little bit. But I do think, like, it just gives you an impression of how good he was versus pressure last year. The drop is big, It takes a big growth for it to sort of get back up to where he needs to be. Play action, 29.5%, so good high number there. It was at 26.6 last year. 8.6 yards per attempt this year. It was at 8.8 last year. His PFF grades up, big time throw rate. Down slightly on those. And his play action stuff for turnover plays pretty in line with last year as well. There has been a split in terms of some of the production. He was actually quarterback 4 to start PFF grade first 5 weeks, 87.6. He is now quarterback 17 the last from week 6 through week 10 at 70.5. So some big drop off there. A full yard per attempt less, 7.6 to start, 6.6 to now. The touchdown rate drops below 5 after being north of 6. So that's, I think, an interesting thing there. And you wonder, that kind of correlates with some of the drop-off from one Mike Williams. So how does he fit? How do we sort of, like, how do we handle him? I think he's probably in a tier below. So this year, it confirms to me a couple of things. So it confirms to me that he's good. So that's good news. Like, we want multiple hits. That's shown to be pretty good in terms of being predictive, in terms of being, not a guarantor of future success, but a significant reduction in risk factors, I guess, is maybe an easier way to say it, right? You don't worry about a guy who's hit just multiple times, just falling off the face of the earth. Like, you just don't really worry about that. At the same time, there's a question of a ceiling. And so I looked at the PFF expected points scored metric. And then when you sort of, when you break it down, he's 8th currently per game. That's a 21 points per game. Above him, just the way they rank this, there's no real filter on throws or anything like that. So above him is Mason Rudolph. So he actually slots in at 7th. By way of reference, he's tied with Stafford, which I find to be a really interesting comp for him. And in terms of the types of profiles and how they would profile the score points long term, I find Stafford to be a really interesting comp for Herbert. It's interesting that they come together like that. Also interesting, when you look at attempts per game, when you look at expected points per game, he's 8th. When you look at his actual attempts, he ranks 3rd. So there is a little bit of, he's not getting all of his throws to be, he's not basically cashing all of them in on high value stuff. So the question that I would have is it offensive coordinator scheme based? Is it, is that what it is? Is it something with him? You look at the guys above him, Mahomes and Brady. So it's not, in terms of attempts, and then you look at, expected points, and it's above him, both Mahomes, Brady, Prescott jumps above him. Again, so not guys that have done it with rushing per se. So I would say if he's tied for 7th, half of the guys about, so Brady, Mahomes, Prescott, and then he's tied with Stafford, so let's just include those 9. So 4 out of that 9 are passing-centric guys. Then you have Lamar, you've got Allen, and then you've got Jalen Hurts above him. So it is not a situation where to get up that high, you need to have the rushing in terms of expected points. You can do it pass-centric. But I wonder if we don't get to a point where his career ends up looking mid to lower quarterback 1 than it does in a Matt Stafford sense, than it does look like a Mahomes type deal. Again, is that coordinator centric? Is that scheme centric? Is that stuff that could change? I'm not sure. We'll see. But I think that's the interesting aspect of this. Question is like, what do we do with that information? Like, all right, like, so we kind of have a peg on where they are. What do we do with the information? Well, I'm a little bit of the mind of, is he a pivot guy? Can you go him plus 4 for Mahomes? Can you go him plus for Dak Prescott? I think with the way that the market looks, I would guess that it's probably not as high on that the market isn't as high on a guy like Prescott as they are versus Herbert. Just think about where Herbert is. Second year into the league, two top 12 seasonal finishes on his resume. Like, that's a quarterback that the market should fawn over. Prescott feels, he likes the rushing upside. He's sort of, all of those sort of narratives that you could put with him. And then all of a sudden you have what is an underpriced quarterback asset at a really high level. I wonder what their, what the relationship between the two of them could be. Most recent trade involving them was back in September. So we have one recent trade involving them. It was Dak Prescott and Davante Adams and a third for Herbert, Diggs, and a second. So relatively close valuations there. Then there was one back in June, basically straight up. I'm really interested in like a pivot up from him. I think there's more ceiling there. That all being said, I feel really comfortable about the floor. So if you were to tell me like, hey, how do you feel about him next 5 years, what is the range of outcomes? Like, I feel really comfortable about him is in the mid to low end quarterback one tier for a while. I'm optimistic about him. Next guy that I will talk about is Joe Burrow. And similarly, I have questions about his upside. So 85 PFF grade, 8.7 yards per attempt, 7 touchdown rate. So that should be already glaringly cautious. We've talked about him. We've talked about touchdown rate. We've talked about Chase. Talked about all those things. He's quarterback 12 in terms of points per game. And he's at 20.03. However, when you look at him in terms of expected points per game, 23rd. So you balance those two things, you combine those two things, and what do you have? Well, you've got positive touchdown variance. The same amount, here's a stat for you, the same amount that he is below the expected points, the same amount that he's above the expected points is about the same amount that Trevor Lawrence is below his expected points. So when you get some regression towards their mean there, you could maybe expect them to change a little bit. I have some caution about that level of cost and that level of if you're going to pay a top 8 price for a quarterback, do you want to pay a top 8 price for a quarterback that's going to be sort of quarterback 2-ish range in terms of volume? He's going to have to do it with high touchdown variance, for example. He's 20th in dropbacks on the season. He's 24th in dropbacks per game. So that is not high volume passing stuff. I know there's a lot of people that had some optimism about him being high end passer coming into the season because of the volume. He's very much become a good passer at the expense of high volume. So, is there an equilibrium there? I'm sure there is, but we've gotten to a point where he's good, but just not enough volume. So we'll have to see how that transforms later on. The pressure rate is actually the 12th lowest in terms of about 30%. Again, this was a big thing with him coming into the season. Like, can they protect him at all? Like, they're okay. Like, they're like basically right in the middle of tackles. So Jonah Williams ranks 42nd in terms of PFF grade. He's their left tackle. Right tackle, Riley Reiff, 54. Coincidentally, 52 for Penei Sewell, who they wanted to, who the common wisdom said take. Like, that's not a meaningful addition, So I never faulted them for that because I thought they had options. And I don't know if Jonah Williams, like how great Jonah Williams can be, but he's certainly proven better than Sewell to date. Again, that's early, but I think it is notable nonetheless. 91 PFF grade from a clean pocket, that is 6th. 9.1 yards per attempt, that is 3rd from a clean pocket. It's a 5.4 big-time throw rate. there. So that's, you know, good. I like some of the yards per attempt of PFF grade a little bit more than probably the big time throw rate there, but that's okay. It's still a good, it's still a really good rate. 22.9 play action, so not even that high. 29th highest out of the 37 qualifiers there. He's at 10.5 yards per attempt on play action. That's fourth in the league. That's definitely one that should be improving here. They need to get that rate up. He does it really well. They do it really well. One other place Burrow has been better this year as to last is his ability to – some of the pressure stuff is a little interesting. So it's some of it is like pressure to sack rate is actually up a little bit, which can be attributable to the quarterback. But he's 11th best at avoiding pressure, right? So his the amount of pressure that is, quote, his responsibility – is at only 6.3%. That was at 15.3 last year. So it is more than cut in half. That's a good sign. Right? That's a pretty good sign. The other thing too, is I'd say, is generally you have some improvement on that. I think is a good sign of pocket presence of developing as a quarterback. I guess when you look at the guys that are really good at some of those rates, they tend to be some of the higher end quarterbacks. So that's a good sign. Where do we sort of put him? I think I put him behind Herbert naturally, just because we get the difference between two hit and one hit is big. Burrow's not on the board yet for a hit either, so Herbert is. I think that those things matter. Just the nature of the offense, I think, is better for Herbert than it is for Burrow. Now, they're both pretty good. Like, they're both very good quarterbacks, and I think it's a good sign that we're debating these guys, yeah, in the what's probably like the higher single digits, right? So the 6 to 10 range of the position, the 6 to maybe 12 range of the position, I think that those things are, like, that's a really good sign that we don't have to put these guys up at like 1 or 2 because we have all these other things going on. So I think it's a really, really good sign. Again, he is one that I would use to pivot up the board. Like, if you could, maybe you can't do it now, but if you could pivot to Mahomes, right? You could pivot to Prescott, or I would think a pivot to Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson's a better version of what Burrow is on kind of a lower volume type deal. So, and I think that the market might think the other way about that situation. So that would be one thing that I would look to potentially consider. Okay, Jalen Hurts. And I've been thinking about Jalen Hurts for a while. And from an NFL perspective, would you rather be engaged, have a house, have a loan out of a mortgage on a house, have a wedding planned for a month out, and that significant other be Baker Mayfield, right? You're engaged, you have a house together, you're walking down the aisle in a week, or would you rather be like casually dating Jalen Hurts? Because that's the NFL equivalent of where these guys are at, right? Baker's coming up on a fifth-year option. They're going to need to figure out how to pay him and make the long-term commitment if they're going to. But he's kind of like it's like Jalen Hurts in the sense of, like, Jalen Hurts is kind of the fun person that you date in, like, your early 20s after you get out of college, and you're working through some things. You don't really know what you want to do sort of long term, but you're sort of working through things, but you have a good time, and it actually turns out to be maybe better than you expected, and things are going well, but you don't necessarily aren't in a position where you want to get married, but there's nothing else to really cause you to go another way. You don't have a it's not like you're seeing multiple people, like, sort of. And there's not any particularly compelling reasons to move on. And that's kind of where the Eagles are with Jalen Hurts. Like, he's fine. Is that something you want to marry long term? I don't know, but they don't need to make the decision right now. Right? This isn't you're being deployed in a month. You got to figure out if this person is someone you want to bring with you for the rest of your life. This isn't we need to move 3,500 miles across the country. Do you want to, do you want to be a part of that? This is like we're living in our own apartments, right? We both have jobs. We've got, our our lives going on, but we're not really forced. There's not any immediacy to being forced to do anything. And like with Jalen Hurts, he's basically perfectly middle of the pack in a lot of stuff. 76.4 PFF grades, quarterback 16. Yards per attempt, 7.3, quarterback 16. Big time throw rate's actually pretty good, 6.0. Turnover worthy play, 2.9. It's basically 2-1. Play action rate, 12th. Yards per attempt on play action, 12th. Right? So perfectly in line. That's efficiency. Big time throw rate on play action, 8.3%. That's 7th. When you look at the points per game, he's quarterback 12. And you just see sort of how the difference is. It's a half a win difference right now, basically, between him and Allen, who's a quarterback 2. Right? So 26.2% of his responsibility, of the pressure responsibility, falls to him. That's actually the second worst, only behind Mahomes. So that is a high stat. That's something he definitely needs to improve on. But there's stuff here where you could say, like, hey, he's good. He hasn't imploded, right? This isn't the person you're dating that's falling over themselves, throwing up in the middle of the bar that you guys are at. Like, they're perfectly reasonably behaved. That's exactly what Jalen Hurts is. 7.5 yards per attempt from a clean pocket, 21st. 19th in terms of big time throw rate from a clean pocket, 3.7%. PFF grade in the 70s, right? 23rd for Hurts from a clean pocket. Question I have is, do you want to make that commitment long term? And that's, I think, you're going to be faced with that decision much sooner in Dynasty than you are going to be for the Eagles. Because if he's going to sort of go through this in the offseason, he's going to be in a situation of, hey, you're at, you know, we don't have any specific competition, right? Or we do, or, you know, we're going to find out about that. But if they get through the draft and it doesn't look like there's a ton of great options in the draft, I'm not sure if they're going to do better. Maybe they will draft someone. I don't know. But if he gets through the point where he's going to, you know, he gets through the draft and we do this, we're going to do this all over again, right? With basically this, I'm not going to say it's an experiment. I'm not trying to demean him, but we get through this process again where they give him a shot. You're going to again be sitting in a situation where, all right, it's a year away. Now in 2023, do they like someone? You know, maybe they fast forward a pick, right? Like maybe they kick a pick down the road at some point. And then they've got multiple assets to fire. And then at some point, like if he's this guy, does he have some value? Right? Is that where he at? Does he have some potential value going to another team in a draft asset or trade package type of deal for, I don't know, Russell Wilson, right? Or for any of these other guys that might be on the market. Is he a potential piece in a deal like that? So the concern and caution that I have with him as a dynasty asset, while I think it's great for the Eagles to sort of play, you know, to play footsie with him, right? To sort of, date him casually or don't get married to him. Is it makes a lot of sense for them to do that. At the same time, we have to understand what we're watching, right? This is a, hey, your buddy, the girl that he's dating, like she's really fun. Like you like hanging out with her. Like you kind of hope that they, that they get together long-term because she's fun at parties and she's, you know, she's good to hang out with and she beats all the other people that he's dated along the lines. But don't, you know, don't buy their wedding portrait before they've walked down the aisle, right? And that's the thing that I would caution you on doing with Jalen Hurts, is just don't, like, he's fine. It's fine. He's playing well. Like, quarterback 1 type numbers. It's good. Don't pay that cost because there's a ton of risk there. And you don't need to do it in this quarterback market. So, like the player, like what they're doing, makes a lot of sense. Just gives me some pause. And they could, again, they could kick this out. Like, they're not in any way forced to not do this. The only way that they'd be forced not to do this is a change in front office, is a change in coaching staff, something like that, where there's a pressure there. I don't get the impression that they're under that pressure. You have a new coach. You have a front office that, frankly, has weathered some storms, and there's some allegiance there. And, you know, do they deserve it? That's not for you and me to decide. That's for their front office to decide. All I would say is I think that they have some leeway to sort of continue to pursue this. We'll sort of see. I wouldn't be making huge, huge bets on Jalen Hurts, but I think he's interesting right now. And I'm not sure how they're going to do significantly better in the draft, so then it becomes a trade issue, and, you know, we'll have to see there. But they have assets to fire. That's the whole thing about why I wouldn't get super aggressive in terms of valuing him right now. All right, Mac Jones. Mac Jones, I think, is really interesting from a sense of, how do you value him? Well, he's been really good. And if you look, he's the second best amongst quarterbacks that were drafted the last 2 years in PFF grade coming into the season. So that's 84.8. That's only behind Burrow right now. So he's actually ahead of Justin Herbert. That's certainly a good start to his career, considering as a rookie, that's a pretty significant start. 7.2 yards per attempt. That's excellent. 4.9 big time throw rate. Again, that's excellent for a rookie. 2.4 turnover worthy plays. He's quarterback 19 on the season, but 30th in terms of points per game. And here's my question. Here's my rub on Mac Jones. We sort of know that what happens with these guys is come in, right? What's the general arc of the position? Come in, go up in price year one, and then a lot of them crater year two and year three. Those things give me a lot of pause in the sense of, like, hey, if this market for him really gets overcooked, he comes in, he's pretty valuable because people kind of see him as the next big thing. That's great. I don't know necessarily long term if he's like, is he a lesser version of Justin Herbert? Like, we've had this conversation about some capped upside guys. Is he a lesser version of that? And not that that's bad, right? But I think you sort of have to keep that back of mind about value. The other thing I would say is, because if that's true, if that's kind of what he is, like, that's a crowded range of the position. And if he's going to be valued like a top 12 or so guy, which I don't think is necessarily unreasonable, in the offseason, it wouldn't shock me, especially if they added something at wide receiver, like Davante Adams, someone like that. It wouldn't shock me to find him sort of in that range, and, you know, we'll see how he ends, you know, playoffs, right, all that stuff. Like, he could definitely be higher in value than we expect. And all of a sudden, like, we have a someone that we think is pretty – that ends up – that we think is pretty nice in rookie drafts because he was cheap. He ends up becoming pretty expensive here in valuation. So I'll just say I think I have him as an asset on a contending team. I have him as a player. Stats on my roster, I got him at a good value in rookie drafts. And I have good quarterbacks. Right? I've got Prescott. I've got Josh Allen. I've got Mahomes. Part of me is like, well, let's just sell him, right? I'm not going to use him. But at the other hand, I have an asset. I think he's an interesting asset at that and being able to be useful. So I think that's kind of how I view him. Again, I don't need to make the bet long term that he's going to be this big elite passer or he's going to be this huge high-end scorer, right? That's not the bet I'm making. I'm more making the idea of, hey, he's going to be worth something a little bit more. That's kind of why I was in on him, right? Because I was like, hey, he's undervalued. Not necessarily that he's going to get to an elite level. And that's one of the things I think people get in trouble when they are projecting profiles in the offseason. It was like, oh, well, he just doesn't have any upside. I don't need to stay and find out, right? If he checks the box as a medium threshold guy, and in the intermediate term, I can sell him for a profit, or I could hold on to him, or it allows me to make another deal, right? We talked about, like, just the rebuilding project that we did, right? And talking about that and how, you know, like, the availability of having a guy like Winston, for example, made me much more flexible on the roster in terms of how I built it. I wasn't holding him long term, but I had him as an asset. Mac Jones is a lot like that. I don't need to stay and find out what his upside is long term. He's fine in the present, and if you know, I don't think he's going to crater off a cliff. Even if it's more quarterback two, even if he looks more like Kirk Cousins than he does, maybe. You know, he looks like someone like Stafford's playing this year, right? That's still plenty valuable, especially when you're young. So I'm encouraged about where Mac Jones is. All right, next up, Justin Fields, highest ADOT in the league at 10.7. Tons of pressures to sack ratio, 29.6%. That's second only to Baker. So that's really concerning there in terms of just too much time, right? And that's consistently been a trend with him. And honestly, it's something that I've given a little bit more consideration to. As when he was in college, one of the big questions was, hey, he takes so much time to throw, why? Is it processing speed? You know, it's the great debate, right? Processing speed, all that stuff. I didn't know. From the looks of it, to me, and from a lot of stuff that I had researched, it appeared that it was a lot of scheme-based, right? He takes a lot of time because the scheme sort of requires him to take a lot of time. Some people that are smarter have said, no, listen, what is actually happening is he's just not processing it, right? He's just not seeing, you know, it's one, two, you know, three is the freebie, right? He's just not doing that. And he's, in terms of his progressions, and he's just not getting off of throws. That's a, you know, that's hasn't changed, right? And so the thing with him is, it's, it was like, well, in college, it was this sort of long, you know, he's basically, they're running long option routes was essentially the argument. Well, this hasn't changed at all. And, you know, it hasn't really been what Nagy has done a ton of. So it gives me a little bit of concern that he just is a hang on to the ball kind of guy. I guess that's the short way of saying it. 29th in terms of PFF grade at 61. That's at a 37 qualifier, so that's not great. A lot of the guys in this class are down at the bottom of that list. 7.4 big-time throw rate, which is up there at the top in terms of guys in the last two classes. It's the highest, so. That's good. 20th in terms of play action rate, 26.5. He's actually 9.1 yards per attempt. That is 14th amongst qualifiers. So they probably could afford to throw it a little bit more frequently, but it's pretty close. Non-play action rate, 6.1 yards per attempt on non-play action throws. That is 33rd out of 37. So doing it on his own, sort of, in the regular structure of the offense, he's really, really struggled. 28th in terms of PFF grade on non-play action throws. So that gives me a little bit of pause with him. Again, some of the concerns there that I thought I was right to think that the market was overthinking him. But in the back of my mind, I've kept that there. And that's the thing that it's really come to balance in terms of Dynasty over the past couple of years is that, right? Put a lot of different... Yeah, understanding how to, at one point, see what you're seeing, understand what the numbers say, and then look at and say, hey, listen, there still is this uncertainty. I see where people are coming from. I'm going to downweight it right now, but I sort of need to remember that as we go forward. And if more information comes out, it can change my evaluations, yada, yada. And I've gotten to a point where it has changed my evaluation a little bit. Like, we haven't seen a lot of that progression from him as a passer in terms of some of the more pass-centric stuff. That gives me a little bit of concern. At the same time, he's making a lot of big-time throws down the field, but he's holding it on. He's holding on to the ball long. We don't see a ton of guys be successful doing that is the other thing. And when he's so responsible for all the pressures on him, right, with guys like Rodgers, with guys like Wilson, they're able to hold on to the ball and still not take a ton of damage and still not really be pressured because that's what they're – pretty attuned to doing. Fields isn't quite there yet, so it gives me a little bit of pause with him. We don't see a ton of these guys holding onto the ball super, super long and being successful about it when they're young in their career. Deep throws, 18.2% of his throws are deep throw. That leads the league in percentage. One touchdown, four interceptions, so that's not good. I don't know if necessarily it's It's all totally on him. 35.1% big time throw rate. That's good for eighth. 10.8 turnover worthy play on deep throws. That's actually ninth worst. Yards per attempt on deep throws, he ranks 25th out of 36. So chucking it down the field a lot, not getting a ton to show for it is, I guess, one of the big takeaways. So that's really my issue with him. Like, I think there's good things happening. I question, you know, maybe the, you know, how much I trust. Again, I think he might be going through a coaching change. We'll see sort of how that goes. And are we going to be in this position where we're sitting here 12 months from now saying the same, like, I don't really know who he is? That gives me a lot of pause. All right, Trevor Lawrence ranks ninth out of nine quarterbacks in the last two classes in PFF grade of qualifiers this year. That includes behind Burrow, Mac Jones, Herbert, Hurts, Tua, Justin Fields, Davis Mills, yes, Davis Mills, and Zach Wilson. So not great in terms of that. Worst yards per attempt of those guys. Big time throw rate, he ranks 21st out of 37 in terms of quarterbacks. 31st out of 37 in terms of turnover worthy plays, so bottom seven performance there. Fourth best pressure to sack rate of quarterbacks this year at 12%, which is actually a really good thing. So you sort of look at these, you're like, man, he's not as a passer, he's just not doing a great job. But as a processor, like, that's really interesting that he's sort of that far advanced in terms of avoiding that stuff. Notable performance there. Clean pocket performance, 33rd out of 37 qualifiers at 66.3 PFF grade, 6.6 yards per attempt, 32nd out of 37 qualifiers. So really, really struggling of the easy stuff, right? This isn't even doing the, hey, he's having a hard time with the hard stuff, right? He's struggling with the gimme stuff. That's a concern. And listen, I'm not going to harp on it, but this is why we don't take quarterbacks at that high a price when they haven't done it in the NFL. So be that as it may. And I know that there's been some talk like, hey, he's been better recently. Not really. Like, it's marginally better, but it's not really. Like, he hasn't taken a big leap or anything like that. Worst in the league in non-play action yards per attempt, sub 5.5 at 57.7 PFF on non-play action. That is 31 out of 37. He is 34th in terms of points per game. So the good news is you've gotten quarterback three production out of him. All right, Zach Wilson, and of the guys on this list, he's the one I'm most interested in buying low. So listen to the PFF podcast, and they were chatting about him this week. You know, hey, do you put Mac Jones over him? And they're like, hey, listen, the priors on him are really good from college. Like, give him some time. And I'm sort of on that. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think when we look at some of the trades and stuff like that, we need to look at it through that lens of, and I heard Ryan Russillo, who has a podcast on the Ringer Network, and it's one of my, you know, I listen to it frequently because he has good guests talk about quarterbacks and stuff like that. And he, you know, I was an SVP and Russillo fan, all along. Back in the ESPN days, he had a line the other day that was phenomenal. It's like, listen, I'm not giving you equal value for your problem. I'm not giving you full price for your problem. I will give it to you in pieces, or I will give it to you at a reduced rate, but I am not paying full price or full assets for your problem. And that's dynasty trading in a nutshell. And it was a really good way of sort of encapsulating that. And so with Wilson, how do we sort of get at him not paying, you know, a quarterback 4 or 5 costs that he was in this class and as a mid first, but how do we do it in other ways that sort of replicate maybe a reduction of that cost, but in other ways? That's how I would shoot at him. I think he's probably gettable, especially with a lot of the stuff involving Mike White, who, by the way, has been pretty atrocious statistically. Mike White, 7.3 turnover worthy play from a clean pocket. That's the worst in the league. That's not great at all. So just the only – he's – in fairness, Mike White is the only person worse than Zach Wilson at that stat. So Some pause, some concern there. He's 32nd in terms of yards per attempt out of 37 qualifiers, 57.6 PFF grade. That's 33rd amongst qualifiers. His drop rate. This is interesting. And so this, again, there's a couple of things in this that I that popped up to me that give me a little bit of like, hey, let's give Zach Wilson a break. Mike White actually hasn't performed that well. That's one. And I think the market is maybe souring a little bit on Wilson, even though he wasn't super expensive earlier. Could you get Zach Wilson plus for Mac Jones right now? Because I'd be really interested in that. You know, can you do those sorts of things? That would be different ways that I would sort of hunt him out. But the one stat that I looked at, and I was like, man, this really sucks for him. 12.6 drop rate, the worst by far in the league. And you sort of look at some of these stats, you're like, man, his yards per attempt is really low. Like, hey, if you gave him half of the balls that were dropped, like it would be higher. Just like put him at a better rate. Like he's at 6.5 yards per attempt. If we just cut his drop rate in half, like there's just some free yardage right there that's probably not on him. I'm giving him a little bit of a pass. The problem that I see is 3.1 yards per attempt. 3.1 seconds to throw. And remember, short throws, quicker throws are more efficient, effective throws. Holding out of the ball is not good. When you hear people say, oh, he just doesn't have enough time to throw, that's most of the time is bogus. Get rid of the football, Carson Wentz, right? Stop holding out of the ball. Holding out of the ball just begs for pressure. It begs for all of the bad things that happen when you hold on to it too long. Get rid of the football, and I think it'll help Zach Wilson. You know, maybe seeing Mike White be check down Charlie for the last couple games will help Wilson sort of adjust to that. He's talked about that. I have some hope that he'll do that, and I'm hoping that the market has soured enough, especially with the Mike White stuff, and that, hey, people might look at it and say, hey, Mike White, like, he's actually competition. I need to get out of my Zach Wilson shares. I'm totally on board with that. Let me just hit a couple trades here. I don't want to do this with every guy, but I think hit a couple trades here, and we'll talk about it a little bit here. Like, here's how I wouldn't do it. Russell Wilson for Zach Wilson, Van Jefferson, and a future first. Like, that's a terrible way to try and target Wilson. Zach Wilson, that is. Like, that's an easy smash for Russ. Cam, Quez Watkins, and a third for Wilson. Bang. Gimme. Right, that's a really good way to go about trying to get him. That would be something that I would think about. Bateman, Brevin Jordan, and a first. Like, it feels like you're giving up too much. That feels like you're just giving up too much, considering that's basically two firsts last year for Zach Wilson, who struggled. Those are sort of some of the things that I would say and I would look at and just give some pause to. Most of the trades, and maybe people just aren't out there buying, and maybe we need to do this. Maybe it's a sign that we need to do this. There hasn't been a ton of volume on him, so maybe there isn't a buy side to this. That might be an indication of that. But a lot of the ones that I'm seeing, I would take the other side of. So if there's not much going on, maybe there is a market out there to buy that people just aren't buying into. So that would sort of be the thought there. Again, he's 6.9 under over expectation. So negative 6.9 against expectation. That is the worst number in the league. However, when you lead the league in drop rate, like, that stuff's going to happen. So I'm giving him a little bit of a pass. It hasn't been great. Get rid of the ball sooner. All that stuff. He's hurt. All that's fair. I'm interested in buying if we're getting a discount. If we're going non-core assets for him as a contributing asset, like, I'm not putting him in the top 20 of the position or anything like that, but sort of outside of that range. Yeah. Like, especially if you're not a contender, like, hey, let's give contributing assets right now for a guy like Zach Wilson. That makes a ton of sense. And again, we look at these guys as largely random coming into the NFL. How are they performing? Well, the best guy's been the worst ones, the last one selected in the first round. So, who is it for us to say what's going to happen in the future other than everything we sort of knew about the ordering of these guys being random coming into the season has proven true through the first half of the season. All right, well, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. This was a longer one in terms of wanting to really get into some of these guys and talk about them. So I hope that helps. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.